Faithful, welcome back to an off-season edition of Move the Chains. Before I continue any further, with me as always is Alex. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Sean? It's been a while. Last time we were here, we were looking forward to that NFC Championship game. We're not going to get too much into the details. We all know what happened. It was a situation where we just saw our team not have the opportunity to compete. I think at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's the gut punch. We weren't able to compete. We saw a team that was, I'm proud of that team. It was a great season, and they fought to the last minute, even though things looked hopeless, man. It was I remember watching the game, and once that injury happened, it was just okay.
Right as the game starts. I'll address my qualm with how it went down, right? So the Eagles get the ball. Number one, what did I say all season, basically, especially in the playoffs? Ronald with his short-ass kick gets returned to about the 40-yard line. So all of a sudden, you have this Eagles crowd that's jazzed up already. Their team's ready to go. You know, they're confident. And now they're at the 40-yard line. They move. They get a couple first downs. And then fourth and whatever it was, fourth and six, fourth and four. We should have challenged. The pass was completed, quote unquote, to AJ Brown or Devontae Smith?
It was the skinny guy, Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith, yeah. So he catches the ball, and of course it's home field advantage, so they don't show the replay, right? Which, why would they? Look, I'll say it. You probably, it's worth throwing the flag. Throwing the flag does not automatically bind you to challenging it. I think in a way it buys you time. Right? I could be wrong with the rule there, but if I'm Kyle, I throw the flag just to kind of delay it, right? Mm-hmm. And say, hey, we want to take a look at that. When the ref comes over, they can say, okay, well, what did you see? What do you want to challenge? That's when you tell the referee, I don't think he caught the ball. So in my mind, with the butterfly effect, if we challenge that play, and it would have been reversed, clearly did not catch the ball. They do not end up scoring make it 7-0 right before a blink of an eye. And who knows? Maybe the play is not, it doesn't unfold the way it does where Purdy gets hurt, right? Of course, it's been discussed. I'm sure anyone who's even listening to this has already been over it. We had a backup tight end that let Hassan Reddick come in basically untouched. Basically come in on a red carpet to take out Purdy. And at first, everyone was thinking, what is it? Is it a hand injury? What could it be? But you see the replays now. We know now it's an elbow injury. I'm a lifelong baseball fan myself. So when you hear Tommy John, it's never a great thing. But the encouraging thing for quarterbacks is that it's less invasive or less arduous of a recovery than it would be for a pitcher. So we'll get into that in a little bit here. But Alex, what are your thoughts on that one, man?
Yeah, closing thoughts is I'm proud of the team. Like I said before, that NFC Championship game, we need to stop and really evaluate in the situation that we're in. We're in a situation that we see ourselves competing every single year in the playoffs. So I am a happy 49ers fan, and I'm excited for the new year. This is the NFL. Only one team out of the 32 is going to win it. The other 31 teams are, it didn't go their way. It's not their season. It's a failure. So we're just, getting back on it. Something that I really need to mention in that game, George Kittle, if you guys heard of the mic Don, George Kittle tells or asks Purdy, are you, I think he says, like, are you left-handed or something like that?
He's just so left-handed.
Just one thing about George Kittle. I think he really personifies the team of just never giving up. And that moment right there it just, it gives me a little spark of joy of anticipating the new season where these guys are just not going to stop. They're going to compete. And there's a lot of things that we'll go over this, you know, this off season about all the positives. I mean, the team that we're bringing back, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. I mean, we're not even
talking about a full off season for Christian too.
A full off season for. Yeah. I mean, not really for Purdy, but at least to get mental reps.
Right. Yeah.
With Purdy and knowing that he's going to be competing for that starting position. But
no, it's good stuff, man. Yeah. I echo a lot of what you're saying. I think for a brief moment when McCaffrey scored and tied it at 7-7, kind of gave us a little bit of false hope. I'm not going to get into Josh Johnson because I'm sure I could go on for hours with the way that piece of shit played. But yeah, that game was over when he fumbled. I don't know how you fumble a snap and shotgun.
There was another close fumble that they were almost going to strip the ball away.
Which they ruled down, but it really should have been a fumble, I think.
Yeah.
Looked like he did fumble it.
And it all puts a spotlight on how amazing Brock Purdy performed for being the last pick of the draft, where you have Josh Johnson, who's, I think, was drafted back in 2008,
played for multiple veteran.
Yeah, full 14 year veteran.
Looked like he never played quarterback in his life. He couldn't complete a checkdown, it looked like, at some points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was just utterly embarrassing. And the rumor was that he hit the showers, you know, as soon as the game ended, and he got packed his stuff and took off. He didn't want to answer questions, didn't wait with the team, and they say he just kind of left early.
Yeah, I think this is a situation where you retire.
Josh Johnson, if you're listening, retire.
Yeah.
Stop being a scout team quarterback. No one wants you around anymore. You're done.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. Let's talk a little bit more about Brock Purdy. Right now, the concern is swelling. There's no surgery until sometime in March. I don't think there's too much concern. I think there's still enough time between now and the beginning of the season for him to, you know, be able to play and throw. But I think, you know, what we're losing is his reps. He's going to be losing those reps to Trey Lance.
No, yeah, I agree, man. It does very much open up the door for Lance. And it just kind of continues this pattern we've had, you know, where there's a lack of continuity at the quarterback position, mm-hmm. be it due to injury or due to a new guy being drafted or, you know, I mean, just it feels like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not quite like, you know, back in that dark decade of the 2000s where we just had no hope because mm-hmm. we're still contending. You know, kind of against all odds in a quarterback dominant league.
Yeah,
we were down to our third or seventh round rookie, you know, the final pick in the draft, and we're still right there in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah,
it makes you wonder what would happen if we had, you know, a true franchise superstar quarterback.
Yeah,
right? I don't want to dwell on the Mahomes draft too much, where we drafted Solomon Thomas, of course, over him, but that's another conversation for another day. But yeah, I think, like you said, man, it opens up the door for Lance. And again, you know, it's kind of right back where we were last year. You know, Lance himself had his second surgery. So I know people saw that, oh, he had to have surgery again. No, that's pre-planned. When you have the surgery like he had back in September, you know, they insert a metal rod almost. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not an orthopedic sports, you know, medicine expert beyond just reading the reports like you guys do, but essentially they place a rod in there to stabilize the ankle, and that rod needs to be removed. It's not a permanent thing. It's just there to help facilitate the recovery and the, you know, to regain the strength. So he had that removed, and that was right around New Year's Day. So he should be ready very, very soon.
Mm-hmm. I like to think about our quarterback situation since Kyle Shanahan became head coach. As a balloon, we see Jimmy Garoppolo win the last five games of 2017, and that balloon inflates. And then the beginning of 2018, he tears his ACL. That balloon deflates. And then, you know, 2019, we go on the Super Bowl run, and there's that balloon inflating again.
There's a balloon, and then 2020 and then, gets hurt.
Well, 2020, there's already talks about we weren't happy with this Super Bowl play. Tom Brady is an option, so that balloon is deflating a bit. He gets injured, it deflates completely. 2020, 2021 comes around.
We draft Lance.
Yeah, it's he's
sort of waiting in the wings, but then Jimmy plays well, right? There's
so many up and downs. Yeah, but let's really turn the pages. I mean, we have a whole effing off season to talk about quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
We really want
to. You know, it's the 49ers. You go back to Young and Montana. You know, Alex Smith and Kaepernick, and you know, now there's always going to be some sort of quarterback dilemma or controversy.
Yeah,
I feel like for whatever reason here.
Yeah, we haven't been able. And another side note: what if Kyle Shanahan? What if this is his master plan? His master plan is fuck a franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
let me build
break the mold.
The defense. Yeah. Let me build this offense, and I'm going to get a quarterback that can throw the ball. You know, 10, 15 yards, dink and dunk, and we're going to make it to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, maybe this is his plan, but I'm pretty sure he'll be happy with the franchise.
The issue with that is you can count on one hand how many teams have been able to actually do that.
True.
Right? Even if you want to go back to the 80s, you know, or maybe even the 70s, people like to think that, you know, the Steelers, for example, were just, you know, defense run the ball. No, they had, you know, Terry Bradshaw could air the ball out. Mm-hmm. Right, you had the Cowboys; they could air the ball out. Right, even the Bears and Giants, who were known as defensive teams, they could score. They had offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were not the 99 Rams, but you know, then even teams like the Seahawks and Ravens, and even the Broncos in 2015. That's rare, right? That happens very rarely for a reason. In a way, you have to have a little bit of luck. You have to hope that the rest of the year, there's no team. Like, you're telling me that the Broncos that year would have gone through Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as Chiefs? Not a chance, right? They kind of got lucky. They had, you know, the Patriots were on a little bit of a downturn. They hadn't reloaded quite yet like they did for that little run that they went on here afterwards. But, you know, like I said, there's a little bit of luck involved. And that's why I said, look at the road we had to face this year. Seattle was not an easy out. Dallas was very tough. And then the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Compare that to our run that we went on 3 years ago. You had a home game against Minnesota and a home game against Green Bay, and we're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah,
true. Right. We avoided Seattle that year. We avoided New Orleans, who were the two teams that I did not want to see in the playoffs. So, you know, I said there's a little bit of luck involved, and like you said, you know, we're kind of going against the traditional mold without that franchise quarterback. But you know, we'll see what happens here, right? So, yeah, guys, there's going to be plenty of time, of course, you know, to talk about Purdy, Lance. It's going to be a fun offseason, especially as minicamp, training camp come up in the coming months. One last thing to talk about in the quarterback room, John Lynch did say that we will probably look at the veteran market.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Ryan's available. Marcus Mariota was cut. Carson Wentz will be available. Sam Darnold. There's a lot of guys out there. Alex, I know you said we're talking offline. Which one is the one that you would want?
Those guys? Out of those four names, Darnold. He's, I think, 25, 26?
The guy's so very young.
He's very young.
It's unreal how that 2018 draft class, you know, between Darnold, Rosen, and Baker Mayfield, those guys have bounced around so much already. It's unreal.
That is unreal, right?
Or they were all supposed to be, you know, top-notch prospects,
yeah,
right? And then sure enough, Josh Allen from Wyoming ends up being the guy, right? Yeah. I personally say, you know what, if our coaching staff is able to evaluate and look at Matt Ryan to see if he still has something in the tank, I would not mind him here. Mm-hmm. He can step in today and play in Kyle Shanahan's offense. If not him, I think Mariota's a guy to look at.
Okay. You're looking for mobility?
A little bit for the mobility, and I think he can – he's a little bit of a very conservative quarterback. When it comes to the actual the way he plays the position, he does not make many risky throws. With some of the athletic scrambling quarterbacks, they'll tend to, you know, try to keep the play alive and make that super, you know, Superman play.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of does the opposite. It's hard to describe how he plays. He leaves a lot on the field. I mean, he beat us last year in that game where we had half the defense injured. But I don't know. I think he could be a guy that's worth bringing in for that third spot. You know, I think he could be that sort of emergency quarterback. Again, yeah. I really hope we don't have multiple injuries to quarterbacks again, but that's my take on it.
What's his age? He's about 28, 29, I want to say, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, right around there.
I'm okay with Marcus Mariota. I would prefer Sam Darnold just for his youth.
Yeah.
I know he's tall. He has that quarterback built. Carson Wentz is another name. I know there's not, you know, nice things that people say about him in the locker room, but
which is surprising. I thought he was a
I don't know. Maybe in the right system. I always think about that. Maybe in the right system, right? Sam Darnold. Maybe in the right system. Yeah. Carson Wentz again. He had his 2018 season. Is that a 2017 season? The MVP season, or he was mm-hmm. considered for MVP, before he was injured.
And you know, it would not be the 49ers offseason without the annual question: is Brady coming or is he not?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I said it during the season. I think he's done. I think this is truly it. It looked like there are times where he just wasn't having fun anymore playing, at least from my vantage point. So
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It was a team that was over that hump, that you know, that Super Bowl run, and he knew that it needed to get replenished, and it was a struggle for him to get to the playoffs. And then once he was in the playoffs, he got booted out. He wasn't even supposed to be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but I agree. Yeah,
in any other division, he would not have made it. So, pretty much any other year, right? So, I think, I look, the Brady thing that can finally be put to bed. And I mean, the other guy, Aaron Rodgers, right? They feel like annually he's, you know, in the mix for jumping to, you know, whatever other team or being traded. Yeah. I think he just recently emerged from his 4-day darkness retreat, or as some of my friends and I call it, a weekend bender. You know, so I don't know what's going on with him mentally, where he's at. He's become sort of a, I don't know, what's called a strange attention magnet. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like this in the years past. You know, when it started with the whole vaccine stuff, and I believe in this, I believe in that, whatever herbs he's getting high on, I don't know. So, I mean,
it's mushrooms. I mean,
would I take him in a heartbeat? You know, the guy's still Aaron Rodgers. I know he had a little bit of a down year, but that's just because of who he was throwing to, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we can kind of put both those names to bed.
Yeah, no, yeah. The Packers will never trade Aaron Rodgers to the 49ers. I mean, the team that's been beating him in the playoffs. Yeah, let's go ahead and give our franchise quarterback over to them.
Right.
But that kind of paints a picture for the other guys. You know, you mentioned Matt Ryan talking about potential signings. I mean, Matt Ryan could be a person that, you know, may not have anything left in the tank. You know, we spoke a little bit about Peyton Manning. Kind of was his last season, and fortunately, he had a solid team around him that he was able to win a Super Bowl. I mean, are there any other names? I think you mentioned Drew Brees. His arm was just not what it used to be.
Oh, yeah, the guy was a noodle by the end of it. It was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah.
Big Ben towards the end.
Yeah, but what...
It was not the same.
Right? What an era, man. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Any other names? I think that covers most of them.
Most of it, yeah. You could probably... You know, there were some guys that kind of dropped off in the earlier part of the 2000s. But I'd say, yeah, as far as the guys that made it through... and to me, I think what it really underlines is how bad the quarterbacks were in the draft from, let's say...
05. Well, Rodgers was 04.
04 was your big draft, right? You had Big Ben, Philip Rivers, and Eli, right?
Yeah.
05 gives you Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith. I mean, Smith had a great career. Not a Hall of Fame career, but, you know, a good one.
Yeah.
Then you have Aaron Rodgers. After that, well, you have Vince Young and Matt Leinart.
Jamarcus
Leinart.
Russell. Matt Leinart. Joe Flacco. Matt Ryan.
Right. Well, no, so those two, at least, you know, I mean, come on, they had a good career. They just sort of tailed off.
Stafford
came along later. Sam Bradford in 2010, right? Cam Newton in 2011, but he kind of tailed off. Then you had guys like Jake Locker, Christian Ponder, right? You know,
who's the guy that we had? We had the Jaguars drafted Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert, right? Gracious. Yeah, then you had, I mean, even a guy like Kaepernick flamed out of the league. Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton, never anything truly special.
Wilson. 2012, Russell Wilson.
2012 gave you Russell Wilson, gave you a couple years of Andrew Luck. RG3 just, you know, was not what we thought he would be. You also had Kirk Cousins in that draft. I know people like to bag on him. I think he's a good, potentially, you could win with him with the right roster.
You can win with him, yeah. Right?
2013 was infamously bad. EJ Manuel, mm-hmm. and then Geno Smith, who only just came on recently. 2014, you had Garoppolo and Derek Carr. Those two were the, pretty much the guys that stand out.
Still there. Playing.
Right. Johnny Manziel. Signed. Right. 15 gave you Mariota and Jameis Winston. 2016 gave you
Wentz and Goff.
Wentz and Goff. Right. And then guys like Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. And but point being, right, there's a reason that Brady, Manning, and Big Ben dominated so long.
Yeah.
It's because there was no one else coming up.
Yeah. You can really say from 06 to 2016.
Yeah. It's for a solid, that's 11 drafts right there.
Solid Tom Brady,
Patel, Mahomes, Watson,
Peyton Manning and, caliber. You
know, those guys get drafted. Right. And there's no one coming up. That's why. I mean, I'll say it was from 2001 to 2018 for an 18 season span, 16 out of 18 AFC championships were won by the Colts or sorry, by Manning, Brady, or Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, look, like you said, what an era, was fun to watch. And I think that's when the NFL really became this quarterback centric league. Otherwise, if it was like that before, the 90s would have been Marino versus Elway every year in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would not have seen the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. You would not have seen those Patriot teams, you know, pre-Belichick when it was Parcells and them, right? Mm-hmm. You would not have seen the likes of the Bills going there. Maybe, I mean, Jim Kelly is good, but he's not Marino and Elway. The way the rules are nowadays, right, the NFL just wants to see. I think they got tired of seeing, you know, a guy like Marino get bounced in the wild card round every year. Right? They got tired of seeing a guy like Peyton Manning early in his career couldn't consistently get bounced early. Right?
Even John Elway. John Elway won Super Bowls in, what, 37, 38?
37 and 38. And then he won in years where he was not the same guy necessarily anymore. Right? That was tail end of his career. He won with an elite running game and a very good defense. But you know, my point is, the NFL does all the stuff to push. Oh, well, I mean, look at the Packers. How many times do they have a sorry ass roster that, you know, had a couple pieces here and there and then Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. You'd say, oh, well, as long as this X team has XYZ at quarterback, they'll always be a contender, right? They're pushing that narrative on you.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit. I mean, like the days of a better team winning, you know, you lose to a better quarterback just because of the way the rules are slanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're getting a little off topic here, but
yeah.
I just had to say that, right? I mean, a lot of people will romanticize that era where the elite quarterback took over. You know, the Breeze, Brady, Manning, Rodgers, and all these guys, Big Ben. I include Big Ben in there, especially later in his career. Even Philip Rivers.
What's more important, having the franchise quarterback or having depth, having a deep roster? I mean, I think we would all agree deep roster, right?
I think traditionally, yeah. I mean, it's easier, I think, to build a deep roster. Now, we've done two deep rosters in this one decade, two completely different rosters. You can make the case for even a third one because the roster we have now is not the same as it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, but I think finding that quarterback and coach combo
first
and establishing a system is how you go about winning. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brady and Belichick did it very well. I think it is interesting to see, though, again, as we, like you said, we're looking back, right? Brees and Rodgers will probably both retire with one Super Bowl only, right? Somehow Ben got two. I think there was a little bit of just a void there in the mid-2000s. Eli has two. Right? I mean, you notice we didn't mention Eli's name. I don't consider him.
Were there any NFC quarterbacks in the mid-2000s when Ben won his first and second? I'm trying to think of NFC quarterbacks. Eli Manning.
NFC quarterbacks at the time?
NFC quarterbacks. Eli,
you had Matt Hasselbeck,
Drew Brees,
with Seattle.
With
Drew
Saints.
Brees, yeah, at 06, he popped up. I mean, McNabb. I wasn't a fan of him.
I think Culpepper was already downhill around that.
Culpepper was already, he injured his knee. It was never the same.
I guess what I'm trying to say is
Favre
just
was still
the competition.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner was Ben Roethlisberger's second Super Bowl win against Kurt
Correct,
Warner.
Yeah.
Damn, man.
And Warner damn near won that one.
Yeah, what a game.
If not for Arizona's two-minute defense shit in the bed.
Dude. All right, man. Let's get to the meat of this episode. Fucking 20 minutes in. But we really
talking about
just,
Super Bowl from 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. We just really wanted to get into it.
That's what I love about football, though, man. That's what it's the beauty of football and sports in general.
Oh man, same here, man. There's so much history. There's so many things. That's why it's easy for us to have a podcast. We could just get on here and just talk.
All right.
But let's talk about the free agents. The free agents that are either gonna be leaving the 49ers or hopefully we are able to re-sign them. News today: we're recording on Tuesday, February 28th, last day of the month. Jennings was re-signed. Looks like a 1-year tender.
That's right. Third and Juwan. I've become a big fan of his. I kind of, you know, Alex, we were saying off air, there's always that one guy that, you know, gets drafted maybe in the fifth or sixth or seventh round. Just for whatever reason, maybe you followed him in college. Maybe you played for a team that you liked or for whatever. Maybe he reminds you of an old player. Jennings was a guy that, I don't know, I just, when they got him in the seventh round, I said, you know what? I think this guy could become something. And he came on really, really strong in 2021. Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers, he was tied for the league team lead in touchdowns. Cam Ayuk and Debo all had 5 receiving touchdowns each. This past season, he didn't have the stats necessarily, but he played very well. And he's become known for one thing, and that is pancaking people in the run game. He's drawn a few flags, I think, from guys that he just pissed off because he just ran them over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a good he's able to I guess piss off the defender.
He gets under the skin, right?
Yeah, there you go.
In hockey, you call that like an agitator.
Yeah, he agitates, but he's able to keep his cool.
Yeah, and then if you watch closely, he had a few plays. I believe there was one in the Seattle game, especially where he broke free for what would have been an easy touchdown. It was just where a Purdy didn't see it right away, which the way the play unfolded.
Yeah,
but yeah, he does a good job at, you know, getting open and getting some big plays, right? When you see him catch the ball downfield,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's had some big moments. So I think it's huge that we were able to re-sign him.
Yeah,
that was the one that I was really concerned about. Moving forward now, defensive line, which kind of was where we built this team. If you go back just a couple of years ago, you know, we had 5 first-round picks there. There was Solomon mm-hmm. Thomas. There was DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, and Dee Ford. Gone are Dee Ford, DeForest Buckner, and Solomon Thomas.
Yeah.
So we still have Nick Bosa coming back. Well, obviously, we have Eric Armstead coming back. Nick Bosa needs to be paid, but we'll discuss that. That's going to get its own episode whenever he gets his big money.
Nick Bosa needs to be paid, and then also there's word of people hating on Eric Armstead that we're paying him too much money. If we were to cut Eric Armstead, I mean, first of all, we would have a huge penalty hit, salary cap penalty. But if you were to cut him, he would be re-signed in a heartbeat. He is top-notch run defender. He's not getting you the sacks, but trust me, Nick Bosa is getting sacks because of Eric Armstead and just the help of closing up the interior. So, yeah, I mean, Eric Armstead is top-notch.
And our defense was at its peak when we had Armstead playing. Right? So him being out was a big we really missed him. We really missed DJ Jones. He was the guy that we lost last year. He went to Denver. You know, so I think up the middle was where we were a bit vulnerable. You kind of saw the Raiders take advantage. You know, they ran really well on us.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's one that stands out. But yeah, all of a sudden, like I said, you know, the defensive line was a position of extra, you know, strength and depth. Now, I mean, the following guys are free agents. So you have Samson Ebukam, who was a big name free agent signing just a couple years ago, Jordan Willis, Maurice Hurst, Kevin Givens, Charles O'Manahue, Kerry Hyder Jr., and Hassan Ridgeway.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, a guy that's quite a few guys. O'Manahue, Ebukam, and Hyder Jr. You figure probably keep 2 out of the 3. I think Ebukam, Alex, and we've been talking about this. We're just kind of spitballing here. We don't know what's going to happen, but I think Ebukam is a guy that I can see getting paid elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree.
For bigger money.
Yeah, I think as a team, we're going to focus on Charles O'Manahue. I think he's younger, and I think he just has a better fit physically. I think the height, the weight, and I think for the limited snaps he's had, I think he's outplayed Samson Ebukam. Samson Ebukam, I believe he's at 9.5 sacks in the 2 years with the 49ers.
Yeah.
I would say re-sign Charles O'Manahue. I think that's the number one priority out of all the names that you mentioned.
Yeah. And I think it goes to say that, you know, I give credit to our coaching staff and everything that they've done, especially, you know, Chris Kocurek is a favorite on this podcast. You know, losing D Ford or having him not pan out with the back injury. I mean, the guy played like, what, 18 games total in 3-4 years here?
Yeah.
That to me was the big missing piece. If you add him to this, you know, with Bosa and Armstead, and you know that other spot that was left by DJ Jones, you could pretty much fill with any serviceable nose tackle, right? And any defensive tackle. That to me is really where we've been missing.
I think, yeah.
You know, Bosa didn't get any sacks in the playoffs officially.
Yeah, he didn't. That's true.
Right, and I know people were kind of harping on that. Look, it's not a game. Chris Jones had no sacks in the playoffs in his first 3 or 4 years. You know, it's not all about the stat sheet and how you fill it up. It's about winning in the trenches, mm-hmm. right? And I think we did a great job against Seattle. Dallas, like I said, they were a tough team, but we were able to win in the trenches. Philly, we'll never know, right? I think, honestly, well, you could say we lost based on the sheer fact that they knocked out two of our quarterbacks, but you get the point. It was never a game in that traditional sense. So mm-hmm. I think with some of these other guys, right, where you have Hurst, Givens, you have Ridgeway on the interior, right? Jordan Willis. Look, I mean, I'm not saying that I want to bring all of them back. I'm saying if there's room for improvement, let's go for it, right? DJ yeah. Jones's presence was definitely missed.
Yeah, I agree. I think the person that did an admirable job filling in for DJ Jones was Hassan Ridgeway. I think we lost him towards the end of the season, but
I think it was like late November.
Yeah. Aside from Charles Menehu, that would be another signing. I think there's not a big market for Hassan Ridgeway, so we should be able to bring him back. Like you said, Sean Sampson, Ebukam most likely will be paid elsewhere. Jordan Willis, I don't think there's a market for him. Famously, he has the block.
The block punts in the Lambo.
Lambo for the going to the NFC Championship. Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, we may not have finished the job that year, but hey, you help us win a playoff game in Lambo.
You stay.
You're forever a hero in my book.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay. So I'm pretty sure we can get Jordan Willis back. Maurice Hurst has been injured for the last two seasons. We haven't seen him play. I'm pretty sure we can get him back if we want him back. Mm-hmm. Kevin Givens is a solid player, a solid rotational defensive tackle. I would say bring him back. Kerry Hyder, I think he's about 32 when the season starts. I think it's time for him to most likely just move on. I don't think we're going to re-sign him.
Yeah. Looked like he fell out of favor last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that could have been a D'Amico Ryans thing. Cause I mean, I think he played under Robert Saleh when he was here the first time.
He did.
Right. Then he went to Seattle for a year. So, yeah. Okay, yeah, look, I'm not an expert on especially on defensive X's and O's. And even though they're both gone, I think just from a sense of what to expect with Steve Wilks, which, again, we'll address that coming up. He's our new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. How different were Robert Saleh, you know, and D'Amico Ryans? Right, I think that'd be a good thing to look at. See if one of the guys that do film breakdown could show us, just so we know, hey, what kind of changes are coming with Steve Wilks?
Yeah,
he is a defensive backs guy by trade, right? D'Amico, when we say by trade, D'Amico Ryans was a linebacker guy.
Yeah,
that was his niche. That was his bread and butter, right? And you see certain coordinators, right? Like Eric Bieniemy, for example, right? He was a running back, right? And he's an offensive coordinator. Yeah. Then you have guys who played quarterback that become offensive coordinator. Yeah. So I think I'm excited that we have Steve Wilks, a guy that's a defensive backs-minded guy. Because as we move on forward now, we have two key free agents. One is Emmanuel Mosley, who will be coming off of an ACL injury against the Panthers last year, a game in which he actually had a pick six, which was a bummer. And then Tashaun Gibson, who I think was probably the surprise of the last offseason signing.
Yeah, man, I agree. Both. I mean, I think Tashaun Gibson has already said that he's looking forward to return with the 49ers. He is looking for another season. And why would you want to leave a team that went to the NFC Championship and looks like they're locked and loaded again to go again? So I think he's a lock to stay at free safety. Emmanuel Mosley, I know there's some other cornerback names in free agency, but if we're going to pay somebody, why not pay our own guy? I would say take Emmanuel Mosley. Corners are so hard to get in this league.
They really are, man. You know, I've been pounding the table on that. You know, we've been – look, Mooney Ward was the blessing last year, and Mosley was looking fantastic. The first 2 months of season, you know, outside the KC game, we looked absolutely amazing, you know, at corner.
Yeah.
And I've been famously saying that we've been cursed there since 1994 when we had Eric Davis and Deion Sanders, of course. But, man, we've had some absolutely awful cornerback play. Yeah. You know, people romanticize the Harbaugh years. Get out of here. Right? Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown, those guys got shredded every time the game was important, right? And I hate to say it, in our game against KC in the Super Bowl, you know, secondary couldn't hold up. I don't put the Rams loss on them. I don't put the Eagles loss on them necessarily, but
yeah,
having good cornerback play, right? Like I said, I think that's why Steve Wilks coming in again. He was the coach of the he's been with the Panthers. He's been there for a number of years in multiple roles, and when he's been there, you know, to run the defense, they've had good numbers.
Yeah,
they've had good discipline.
I was gonna say he went 500. I think after he took over for Matt Rhule.
Or Matt Rhule, which is a stupid hire.
Hey, man, you go 500 for a team that just lost their head coach. And then I think he was the head coach for the Cardinals. I think this is before, Kyle Shanahan was a head coach? I think it was his last year as a Cardinals head coach.
No, he was given 1 year. He was given 1 year, and they drafted Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And then they realized, we don't want Josh Rosen, and we want Kyler Murray, and we want Mr. Cliff Kingsbury. So it's your one-way ticket to Hawaii or wherever the hell he flew out to.
another defensive back name, Jimmy Ward. I think he is over 30. He's going to be seeking around $10 million. I think this is somebody that he's most likely going to go to another team. But we mentioned Emmanuel.
He famously kind of had some beef with the coaching staff last year, right? He actually outright came and said it. That he went to Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, you had Jaquaski Tart as well on Twitter talking about, hey, Jimmy Ward was almost all pro at safety. Why are you playing him in the slot? Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, look, I'm not saying you coaches don't know what they're doing, but hey, they're the coaches for a reason.
Yeah. And then one year's success doesn't translate to another year's success. It really doesn't in the NFL.
Right? NFL means not for long.
Yeah.
So I think, he fell out of favor for whatever reason, which is surprising because during his years where he was always hurt, injured, and he was always kind of the whipping boy for fans. This is like, get rid of him. He's trash. He's a bum. He always stuck around. Look, he's the longest tenured 49er right now.
Yeah.
From the day he joined the Niners, there's not another guy left. He's the only guy, right, in that locker room. So he played under Harbaugh. He played under Tom Sula. Under Chip Kelly, and then now 6 years under Shanahan.
Would it be Eric Armstead? I think Eric Armstead will take over.
Armstead was drafted a year later. He was in 2015.
So. Yeah.
So he'll take over. I remember thinking that, Tom Sula gets to pick his own guy, defensive line. He'll be a surefire, solid piece. And, oh, God. Let's not talk about 2015.
Yeah. So something I wanted to mention, if we re-sign Emmanuel Mosley and Jimmy Ward walks, that's going to leave the door open for Diamondo Lenore to step into the slot. And I think that's, at the end of the day, I think that's his main role, right? As a slot corner. You think he's
the
outside?
The reason I say that is because I've heard a lot of cornerbacks speak about this. When they talk about, move so-and-so to slot, they describe it as a very, very different position. It's not like playing cornerback in the traditional sense. That's why we had a guy in K'Wan Williams who was known to be a slot specialist, right? He didn't play all that well on the outside, but when you moved him into the slot, he was considered, I think, graded one of the. I don't trust so much in those analytic websites too much, but BF, right? But hey, when he's ranking top five across the board on all of them, and he passes the eye test. Right, that means it tells you he was doing something right. But I'd be curious to see if that works out, Alex.
Yeah,
moving Lenore to the inside, you know, because he did get picked on a little bit late, you know, in the season there.
Yeah, If we don't sign Mosley, that means that Diamondo Lenore showed enough to the coaches to captain the other end opposite of Mooney Ward, which I mean, I'm all for it. He's a young, promising player. He did I think decently towards the end of the season. I can't remember of him getting burned multiple times in a game. So
yeah, Alex, I mean, just to maybe add to that a little bit, right? I mean, Ambry Thomas was the guy that was drafted with Lenore, you know, in the third round. One of Harbaugh's guys over at Michigan. So he did regress this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think he's another guy that we could see. What do we have in him? You know, again, we kind of just want to look at free agents for now. Those are the main ones. Mm-hmm. The only other one that comes to mind who we know won't be back is Garoppolo. That's been addressed and put to bed.
I think John Lynch put that to bed. Kyle Shanahan put that to bed. Really, the last group here that we'll go over is the O-line. There's gonna be some changes because the first name that I guess the most notable name that comes out is Mike McGlinchey. I personally would love to have him back. I think it's hard to find a solid starting tackle in the NFL. I know Sean feels differently. One thing about Mike McGlinchey, though, I think he will be paid. So I think he's gone. We're not going to pay him what other teams are going to pay him. And I think taking over his spot is going to be, Colton McKivitt's job to lose, you know, unless we bring a veteran or we draft a tackle. Yeah, and that's something that you'll see the 49ers do very often. They don't draft guards. They draft tackles and transition them into guards. Because coming from college, these tackles are taller and they're more athletic.
That is very true. And you know that Shanahan and his dad and even any of the other guys that run the same system, they do prefer the lighter, more athletic offensive linemen. I think that with the Denver Broncos, I mean, obviously we're talking 25, 26 years ago now when they won those Super Bowls, they famously had the lightest offensive line all of football, you know, and if you, I mean, heck, very few people will be old enough to remember this, but when they beat the Packers in that Super Bowl in 97, the Packers had a giant offensive defensive line. You know, Gilbert Brown was, I don't know, 350 pounds or whatever. Listen, they had Reggie White, Santana Dotson. They had some big bodies up front. So Denver just basically said, "Hey, you're going to supersize your D line. We're going to run circles around you." Those guys were gassed. You know, Green Bay's defensive line was just sucking wind.
By the
fourth quarter of that Super Bowl. So, but yeah, I mean, moving with that same philosophy, Kyle does like, you know, the more athletic type. I mean, Aaron Banks did kind of go away from that mold a little bit.
Aaron Banks.
And, you know, I mean, look, our in middle three, you know, were a nice surprise last year. You know, you had Banks, Brendel, and Burford. I know it sounds like a law firm more than interior three. But, you know, yeah, and then, you know, you had, I mean, Jake Brendel's a guy. I mean, here's this guy. He's 30 years old. He had never, you know, started more than three games in a season. Actually, he had three starts total before becoming our starting center, right? So he's a guy that we'll bring back. I doubt any team pays, you know,
Jake Brendel,
right? I mean, centers, you don't lose a center to free agency that
true,
way.
True. You don't lose a center, but Jake Brendel's on the radar. He wasn't last year. He's on
correct,
the radar.
Yeah, right. You're right. That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, after losing Alex Mack, who was fantastic, I think he had a lot left in the tank. It's just he got married and wanted to start a family. So he ended up retiring, which, again, it was a bummer. But then, you know, Brendel was a nice surprise.
Yeah, and so, Brendel is, I think he is, out of all the O-line, I think he's the most important signing, aside from, I mean, I don't think we're going to re-sign McGlinchey, but I think he's even more important than McGlinchey, just because you had a rookie right guard, and you had, not a rookie, but his first year starting left guard. Why are you going to switch out the center when they're... The offensive line, a lot of teams and a lot of coaches will say that, you know, you kind of it gets better over time, and you don't want to let go of your one of the most important pieces in a Kyle Shanahan offense, especially when you have two young guards that just need that consistency and that continuity. So Jake Brendel, definitely see him. We'll see him next year in a 49ers uniform.
Yeah, and like you said, you've probably heard this term before. It's the quarterback of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Right. We struggled a little bit in 2020 when Western Richburg was out. We had a backup. I forget the guy's name. It was like I didn't want to even look it up. But
damn, we had issues. I think, yeah.
Grasu was the guy's name.
Mm.
Right. I mean, he was a backup. He wasn't meant to start big time games, right? But you know, I think, you know, he was definitely a nice surprise, and I think we'll bring back all those guys. I say replace McGlinchey. Let some team overpay for him, and we can, you know, we can replace him either through the draft, some cheaper option in free agency. I don't know what it is with him. I think, you know, he lost a ton of weight 1 year, and he played terribly, and then he gained the weight back, gained some strength back. It's just too inconsistent. I know some of these, again, the analytic websites will say that he was quote unquote one of the highest graded guys. This and that. He just never passes the eye test for me, man. It's just, and I'm not overreacting to things like, yeah, I know they had that shot of, what's his name from, Micah Parsons, where he hit him with the Reggie White, the hump move, mm-hmm. and going flying across your screen is McGlinchey. Right. I mean, I know it's a little unfair to just pin that on him, but that way, but I don't know. I just feel like there's room for improvement there.
Yeah. It's hard in the NFL to replace a tackle. So the room for improvement may not be so much of improvement. The only one I can think of, like I said before, was Colton McKivitz. Well, I haven't really seen the free agency tackles, but I don't think there's any notable tackles. Actually, Orlando Brown, but I think KC will most likely re-sign him.
Oh, they gave up a lot of draft picks for him, I think. Yeah, I don't know what their cap situation. I'll tell you what, I don't know how the hell they won another fucking Super Bowl after trading away, you know, a guy like Tyreek Hill, and this is supposed to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
You
know, but no, they did it.
Right. So, yeah. Two other names I want to mention. Just, I know we didn't spend a whole lot of time on them because I think we kind of know both their fates. One is Robbie Gould. I think as long as he wants to play, it's his job.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been a fan of his kickoffs. I've been told that was a strategy where they wanted to kick it short and then pin them deep. It's not working.
No, I think we got Owen Burks, and there was that other special team.
Odom, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's why. We can pin him down. I mean,
look, you have three instances in the playoffs. It nearly burned us against Dallas, and then it did burn us again against Philly. You cannot give up three kick returns to midfield or damn near midfield. That is just unacceptable.
Yeah.
You cannot expect to win like that, right? So, but again, I think just from the consistency and the standpoint of not trusting a rookie, I mean, hell, we don't trust rookies with much, especially now with winning game-winning field goals. So,
yeah,
I think Robbie Gould stays. And the other guy who pretty much I think I've just sort of accepted is going to be gone is a favorite around here of ours and of the fan base, Azeez Al-Shaair.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not a lot of snaps to go around. Yeah. We don't always play with three down linebackers. So you have a guy that's, you know, looking to get on the field. With D'Amico Ryan's going to Houston, I think it's a fairly obvious.
Yeah, he needs his anchor. He needs somebody out there to run his defense. Azeez is going to be the perfect. He's going to most likely transition to middle linebacker, right?
Yeah, I think he would be able to play that. Yep. And it's so funny because, you know, I follow a couple of different Instagram pages where they just post, you know, different player highlights, 49ers Rewind. Big shout out to them. That's one of my favorite pages. He posted, and I was actually at this game. It was Niners Cowboys in the preseason. and 2019. And Aziz Alshire makes a big play towards the end of the game. You see him. He was much slimmer coming out of college, you know, what he's gotten to now being in the NFL for 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning again, I think I said this even in the Philadelphia preview, our defense was at its best, you know, in that base package when you had Aziz, you had Fred Warner, and then Dre Greenlaw, you know, all on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. And with our down four base down linemen, I think by far, I don't have the stats, the snap counts, or the percentages to say it, but just as far as our performance and our peak capability, you know, he'll definitely be missed.
Yeah. Is that a potential comp pick? McGlinchey as well? Are those potential
comp picks? I think so, yeah.
I'm not sure how those work.
Yeah, comp picks, that's another comp picks. We'll address that because actually we have quite a few.
Yeah, McGlinchey, also here.
No, I mean, for this upcoming year, they would be for the next year.
Oh, yeah, for this upcoming year, we have a couple. Yeah. I think we lost one. We didn't lose one, but we weren't able to obtain it because we've had so many.
Yeah, because... Well, we actually get we keep getting them for losing coaches.
Yeah.
Coaches and front office guys. Rand Carthon left to become GM of the Titans, so we're going to get something back from him. Yeah. Mike McDaniel netted us, you know, a few. Robert Sala, right? We ended up losing, what's his name? Matt LaFleur. Matt or Mike? One of the two.
One of them, yeah. But it's only for people of color.
Oh, no, right? But players-wise, it's not. So look, I get what the NFL's doing, right? It's encouraging, you know, and it makes sense. We could do a whole topic on that one day with the Rooney Rule and how that works. I think it works.
Yeah, man, it makes sense, man. I mean, right. Just taking the 49ers as an example, Robert Sala, D'Amico Ryans, Mike McDaniel. It makes sense. Dolphins went to the playoff. Jets were close. They didn't have a quarterback.
Oh, they should have. Yeah, they had every chance in the world.
They had every chance. To get in there. And they did a great job drafting. I think they got the offensive rookie and
The defensive rookie. Yeah.
Defensive. Yeah, so that's like the Saints.
We actually said it right after the draft, before the season even started. Hey, shout out to the Jets for a hell of a draft.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you remember, they got Sauce Gardner, who I think, I mean, what I would give to draft. You know, the top corner of the draft 1 year, right? Whenever we have a first round pick back. But yeah, I think after this, guys, we'll come back at you with maybe closer to the draft. We'll do a draft preview, or if there's any other major news between now and then, yeah, of course we'll be here to break it down.
Yeah,
again, that's our sort of recap of the unfortunate way the 2022 season ended, and of course our look ahead to. You know, the guys that we may or may not be able to bring back this upcoming year.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, we'll like Sean said, we'll be back. We're going to keep our eyes and ears open to see what's going on with the team, anything notable. But I think
we won't be joining Aaron Rodgers for his darkness retreat. So we'll be staying connected.
Yeah, and then Sean and I responded to Trey Lance's message about needing some receivers to practice. So we'll be out there in San Jose. Catching some balls from Trey Lance.
First hand reporting for you guys.
Yeah, there you go. We have what, combine and then free agency. So we'll be back maybe next week or soon. We'll do another episode.
Right on. All right, guys, take care.
All right, take care, faithful.